Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159. He is the mastermind of the college football and professional football Picton, Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Joe, you heard right there from both Mike Tomlin, the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, to start off today's show, and Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay. What Mike Tomlin is referring to is a report in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette about a locker room altercation, a halftime fight, if you will, maybe not physical in nature, between Mitchell Trubisky and a teammate. This is all reportedly that led to Kenny Pickett coming into that game against the New York Jets, making his NFL debut, and now has led to Kenny Pickett making two starts. But Joe, with Kenny Pickett injured in concussion protocol, it will be Mitchell Trubisky more than likely making the start on Sunday night against the Miami Dolphins. All part of those NFL news and notes throughout the week we must keep an eye on.
Yeah, great story, right? I mean, this is what we don't see behind the scenes in terms of the locker room environment. And at the end of the day, you would expect the Pittsburgh Steelers to be there because of their blue-collar head coach, Mike Tomlin, two-time Super Bowl winner, that all he does is coach the talent up. But he's a no-nonsense guy. He's much like linebacker coach Brian Flores for the Miami Dolphins. And at the end of the day, his team takes on his mentality. So Mitch Trubisky is the outlier. He's only there 1 year, right? He wasn't there last year and years beyond. He was on other organizations, losing organizations, and in order to step up and lead your team, you have to be the face of the franchise and have your teammates buy in. I am curious to see how this plays out for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Do they implode, or do they rally around this environment and make some noise the rest of the way?
A 7-point spread in favor of Miami for Sunday Night Football in South Beach this week between the Steelers and the Dolphins. There are going to be quarterback questions surrounding that game. Will it be Mitchell Trubisky making the start if Kenny Pickett does not clear concussion protocol? And speaking of concussion protocol, Tua Tagovailoa has cleared that protocol and is expected, slated to make the start for Mike McDaniel and company in Miami on Sunday. Again, the Dolphins, a 7-point favorite. That altercation, Joe, the war of words, if you will, at the halftime locker room, again, all reportedly here in this story, was between Mitchell Trubisky and wide receiver Diontae Johnson. But when Mitch had to fill in this past week to secure that Pittsburgh Steelers victory against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he was sensational. 9 of 12, a buck 44 in the game-winning touchdown toss to Chase Claypool. So, at the start of the show, you also heard from Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay. A big statement, Joe, made yesterday in New York City at the NFL owners' meetings. As we continue to follow the situation around Dan Snyder, the sexual assault allegations of his organization, the House Oversight Committee, Congress having to get involved, subpoenaing Dan Snyder, but he was able to skirt that subpoena at a certain moment. There is still a ton to be decided here, Joe, following last week's report by ESPN that Dan Snyder hired private investigators to dig up dirt about Commissioner Roger Goodell, the 31 other NFL owners, and and how ugly this situation even is getting within those interior NFL league circles, even among the billionaire boys club that is NFL ownership. But Jim Irsay, Joe, making that big statement yesterday, as you heard, saying he believes there is merit to remove Daniel Snyder as owner of the Washington Commanders. Despite that statement, Joe, do you think anything actually happens? Do you think a change will be made to remove Dan Snyder as the owner of the Commanders?
No, I don't. Because of the potential dirt that Dan Snyder says he has on everyone, maybe he does. And at the end of the day, I think that that'll hold some weight as this plays out. Now, Irsay has had his own off-the-field situations over the course of the last decade or so. Not the cleanest guy, you know, for the most part. But, you know, he's the one that's taken a stand. But, you know, you better be careful on what you wish for, because now you started something and you better be able to back it up with action. If not, then Dan Snyder has an opportunity to respond and then open up a can of worms for every owner outside of the Washington Commanders. So we'll see how this plays out. At the end of the day, it sounds good on paper, but we know money drives the bus, right? If someone's pocket is being affected, more times than not, they're not going to allow anything to happen that affects that type of revenue stream.
And let's call a spade a spade. It's very difficult to have oversight over billionaires when there is no oversight to be had. Commissioner Roger Goodell is not their direct report. He is not their boss. They are his bosses. Tons to get to from around the owners' meetings yesterday, Joe, as we flip our attention to Week 7 on the actual football field as well. But Jim Irsay did say, because of what would be needed to remove Daniel Snyder as owner, it would have to be 24 of the 32 NFL owners, 75%. He does believe there might be that margin to make those moves. More FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on FFC. Football full circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Joe, a big midweek at the NFL owners meeting as we approach week number 7 of this National Football League regular season that starts on a Thursday night in Arizona. The owners meeting had tons of storylines yesterday. Jim Irsay, as we shared in the opening segment, the Colts owner making a big and profound statement about Daniel Snyder and the potential of removing him as the owner of the Commanders organization. Jim Irsay saying he believes there is merit. When asked if he was worried about the dirt reportedly that Daniel Snyder has dug up on other owners, Jim Irsay, who has had his troubles in the past, said he can investigate me until the cows come home. It won't back me off. Virtually, my dirt is out in the public. You can't say anything about me that isn't already public knowledge. And again, Joe, The barometer that you need, right, that bar that you need to hit is 24 of 32 NFL owners, 75% of ownership around the league needs to vote to remove Daniel Snyder. That is a big bar to clear. So we're not entirely sure what is going to happen right now. It is a very substantial thing to remove an owner, one of the fellow billionaires, from your billionaires club. What we do know, though, Joe, with this first public statement from Jim Irsay, the first owner to make such a statement, this is going to be a long, dirty, ugly road that will eventually play out in some form or fashion. Daniel Snyder also issuing a PR statement yesterday, denying and debunking everything the ESPN report from last week said about him, his family, and the way that his organization is run. All right, Joe, as we continue to go around the National Football League and get ready for week number 7, a couple of really interesting games on the board that feel like, Lisi, the trends of underdogs might come to an end. So maybe public sides that look a lot different right now. And I'm going to start with the New York Giants and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, Joe, the Giants are a 3-point underdog on the road in Jacksonville. The New York Giants, a 5-1 football team, 4 of those 5 victories outright as an underdog. And yet, Joe, they're still catching that full key number of a field goal. Does it feel like the book right now is begging you to say, oh, we got to back Big Blue. The Jags now suck again all of a sudden. Does it feel like that would be the public perception?
It would, but I think it's going to draw people in to take in the Jacksonville side. Like, why is Jacksonville favorite, right? You know, that's the thing. I think that books establish lines to make people think. And even though New York is the more complete, better team in this matchup, putting them as underdogs, I think will have more people look at why is Jacksonville favored, and maybe they take a shot in terms of laying the 3 points in Florida. I mean, I think that's the thing too, is that the Jags play much better at home sometimes than they do on the road, right? They knocked off Buffalo last year. They picked up some critical home wins this year. So at the end of the day, I'm a buyer in the sense of I think the Giants are the more complete team. I'm not going to overthink that. As well as Doug Peterson has gotten the most out of the Jaguars to this point, I'm going to take Brian Daboll and the New York Giants on the road in this matchup. I like the way their defense is playing.
It's really interesting, Joe, because the Giants still have been evaluated as the underdog. They've been booked as an underdog in 5 of their 6 games, and they've covered in every one of their wins. It's interesting, though, Joe, because when does the market catch up? Is this the market starting to use that sample size of 6 weeks of football and still think, hey, from our power ratings, Jacksonville at home should be the favored side? Or is it an enticing number that lets the public do what they do? Because, Dave, you know, Joe, that we have Dave Sharapan on this network, a former odds maker himself that was in the thick of the risk room. And I think it's always fascinating getting his perspective on how these lines are set. They don't change all that much. The lines are set based on the ratings and the actual numbers and models that these sports books have. It's not the public perception. However, they know that they need to take both sides. They need to take money and investment to make it profitable for themselves. So you put a number out there that you feel strongly in, and then you let the market do with it as it may. Might we see that for this game? If it starts to work back in Jacksonville's favor, then maybe Jacksonville's just the right side. If it comes down on New York, though, Joe, and ends at 2, 2.5 for Sunday, maybe that's the public getting involved, especially if it happens later in the week. Here's another underdog for you, Joe, that I find very fascinating. The Atlanta Falcons, a 6.5-point dog on the road in Cincinnati. The Dirty Birds, the only unbeaten team against the number so far this year. An underdog in all 6, a perfect 6-0 against the spread. In fact, 3 of them outright, Joe, tied for the top of the AFC South at the moment. Now, 6.5, Joe, 6.5, almost a touchdown spread in favor of Cincinnati at home. Which side are you leaning with?
I'm laying it with Cincinnati. I really think they're the best team in this matchup, number one. I think they're the best team in the division. I think they found their stride. And at the end of the day, they deserve to be 6.5-point favorites over Atlanta. I'm not buying into Atlanta. I'm sorry. I know undefeated against the spread. I know they beat up on San Francisco, a beaten down San Francisco defense. But at the end of the day, I don't think teams have taken the right approach in terms of attacking Atlanta. You can run on them, and more importantly, you could challenge them over the top. I know Mariota's playing above his head right now, and their offense is clicking to a degree. But at the end of the day, if Cincinnati goes in terms of pressure on first and second downs and challenges them the way they challenged New Orleans defense in the fourth quarter, they should win this ball game handily. I'm laying the 6.5 with Joey Silk and the crew.
Joe, I think you said this on Monday's show when we discussed the Falcons beating the Niners outright, winning by 2 touchdowns as a 5.5-point underdog, getting their 3rd win of the year, and again, improving to that perfect number against the spread, 6-0 this year. When is the point where it's too much? They're not going to be 17-0 against the spread. Even the best cover teams struggle to do that. The best cover record last year in the regular season was the Dallas Cowboys at 12-5 against the number. The Detroit Lions were 11-6 against the spread. We'll get to those two teams in just a moment. So when is that opportunity? When is that time to look at 6.5 and think, all right, the Bengals can win by a touchdown here? Or is that spread too big? We think the trend continues on. Great points, Joe. Great point. We also got some news, Joe, around the National Football League in terms of injuries. The San Francisco 49ers are incredibly banged up. 9 of their 11 opening day projected starters on the defensive side of the football, Joe, might miss this upcoming week and are currently listed on the injury report for San Francisco. The Niners get ready to host, Joe, the top scoring offense in the league. That would be the Kansas City Chiefs, who are averaging more than 29 points per game. It's a 3-point spread in favor of KC, but on the road in Santa Clara. Joe, are you going to wait until you have more certainty around San Francisco? How do you feel about this game right now?
Yeah, I mean, it scares me that Kansas City's going out west. I'm not going to lie to you in that regard. You know, 3 points, yeah. It seems like, oh, just blindly bet Kansas City, and I think they are the right side. But at the end of the day, San Francisco could only win this ball game by running the football. And I still think that that's a potential weakness of Kansas City's front seven right now. If they run the football, you keep Pat Mahomes on the sidelines because they have to. They can't get into a shootout, number one. They don't have the horses with Jimmy G at the helm. They're predicated on the physicality of the offensive line, right? So at the end of the day, they first and foremost have to run the football because that's their identity. But they also have to run it to preserve their defense because of the starters that might be missed here. So I lean to Kansas City. I don't love it, but I like the under 48.5 in this ballgame.
It's going to be a look, Joe, that I think 48.5, depending on what San Francisco brings, what they have offensively could dictate where that total goes. It's actually one of the higher totals of the weekend at 48.5. The Niners, the second best scoring defense in the league and still the best total defense in the National Football League, but they need those reinforcements defensively. Joe, we'll come back and talk a little bit more about the National Football League. Some other maybe underdog spots we can keep an eye on that have been profitable so far this year. And then we'll turn our attention to another big week in college football. Stay right here on Football Full Circle, all across the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 195. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. We'll be back in just a few minutes on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back on FFC, live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. All right, Joe, some underdog spots that may draw our attention for week number 7 of this NFL campaign. Let's go to a really good underdog team this year on the road in the Mile High City against the Denver Broncos. It's a 1.5-point spread between the Jets and the Broncos. Gangrene, 4-2 this year, booked as an underdog in all 6 of their games, which means all 4 of those wins outright as a dog. Joe, it's only a 1.5-point spread here for the Jets and the Broncos, so it's a short number. But do you think the Jets can keep this momentum rolling even in Denver?
They can. I don't know if they will. I mean, if there's ever going to be a game for Denver to just grind out a win, it's against the Jets. I really believe that. This is a home field advantage. I think the altitude potentially could play a factor in this ballgame. And if there's one team that just, going back over the years, I feel like always challenges the New York Jets, go back to Parcells, obviously, with Terrell Davis, right? Denver has seemed to just play the New York Jets very well. So at the end of the day, I don't love it, but you want to get 1.5 in terms of laying the favorite at home. I'm always a buyer in terms of laying short favorites in the NFL. Anything under basically a field goal or less, I'm inclined to buy in. And if I think I have the better team, this is still a young team with Salah at the helm. I know it's Russell Wilson. He sucked over the last 3 weeks, but I'm going to buy in and lay the short number here.
It's such an interesting number. It really is. I don't know if I will bet on the Denver Broncos. I'm not sure I'm going to bet on the New York Jets either because I don't love it. There's a lot of optimism based on that number for New York, and there's still that belief, Joe, maybe somewhere deep down in our souls, that the Denver Broncos will figure it out somehow, some way. The over-under for this game, by the way, 38.5, the smallest total of the weekend. The Broncos have gone under in 5 of their 6 games by an average margin of nearly 13 points per game. Joe, when you look at the New York Jets, and let's throw in the New York Giants that we talked about earlier, a New York conversation for football teams that play their actual home games in the state of New Jersey. It's not just the great start to this season. Could it also be a continued successful year for both of these New York ball clubs? Right now, Joe, the Giants are a -190 favorite to make the postseason. These odds change each and every week. If the Giants do lose in Jacksonville, they'll probably be back in plus money. But where it stands right now, Joe, following 6 weeks, a 5-1 Giants team is nearly a $2 favorite to make the NFC playoffs. That's, as the odds would say, a near certainty at this moment right now, Joe, or at least very, very strongly favored to get there. How do you evaluate the Giants from that perspective? Are they a playoff team?
Yeah. I mean, Here's the thing about the Giants. Well, here's why you have to buy in, right? What wins in the playoffs? The ability to run the football and play solid defense. That always carries well in a playoff environment. You don't need elite quarterback play. You need a solid defense that's opportunistic and the ability to ground it out when it matters most. Look at Tampa Bay a couple of years ago. It wasn't Tom Brady that really carried them to the Super Bowl run. Yeah, he got his in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, but what got them there was the physicality of Leonard Fournette and Rojo in terms of the ground game, right? Almost each and every game, they were averaging close to 5 yards per carry. So yeah, if they can get to a wild card type of situation, they can win some ball games, and why not? I mean, they're grounding teams out. They're forcing turnovers. I mean, show me the game where, you know, New York was exposed from a defensive perspective where they gave up chunk plays. They very rarely do that. And that's a testament to Wink Martindale and Brian Daboll as head coach.
Yeah, it really is. And we'll see what those odds continue to look like. Again, they go and fluctuate each and every week. Speaking of those Denver Broncos who we painted in the matchups against the New York Jets, Joe, they're priced now plus 460 to make the postseason. Ridiculous number after they were minus 146 to get there before the year got started. The New York Jets, Joe, still relatively long odds to be a true postseason team. Plus 230 to make the postseason. To miss is a minus 270 price to not make the playoffs. Joe, how do you feel about the New York Jets? If you think the Giants are a true viable postseason contender, are the Jets in the same fold?
No. Part of me says no because of the fact of still, I believe, Zach Wilson is inexperienced. I mean, love him or hate him, Daniel Jones has been in the league for a long period of time. He's a little bit more battle-tested. That's why I give the inside edge to the New York Giants. At the end of the day, I still feel the Jets are starting to find their identity, even though now, you know, Robert Saleh's there a couple of years. At the end of the day, they still have maybe, you know, Zach Wilson is a second-year quarterback. At the end of the day, they have to build their identity with those playmakers. I don't think their defense is as solid, although Sauce Gardner is proven he is Rookie of the Year from a defensive perspective. I still think there's some roads that they can take in terms of strides, being where the Giants are at this point in the season, but that's not to take away from where they are right now. They're 4-2. They've won four games. They knocked off Miami. They knocked off Green Bay on the road. I think they will continue to develop, but if we're talking apples to apples right now, I think Daboll and the New York Giants have the inside track because they have more veterans on that team that could carry them to a potential playoff run.
Joe, I also think you could make the argument that both of the East divisions in the AFC and the NFC are by far the two strongest divisions in each of those respective conferences. You look at the AFC East right now, it's the Buffalo Bills, obviously one of the best football teams, if not the best football team in the entire league. They're a minus 800 favorite to win that division. If the Dolphins get Tua Tagovailoa and they look a little bit more similar to what they did earlier in the year when they were the last unbeaten team in the AFC. They have dropped three straight since then. But if Tua and the Dolphins come out on Sunday and look good once again against the Steelers and they cover as a 7-point home favorite, then you certainly have to keep the Dolphins in terms of that playoff contention. The New England Patriots, although maybe not the best team, Joe, at least right now seem like they have figured something out with Bailey Zappe in there at the quarterback position. And again, the Jets are 4-2. Joe, there are only one, and I believe, only one division, Joe. Only one division in all football. It is the AFC East, where all four teams are at 500 or better. Only one division, and it's the AFC East. All five teams at 500 or better. There's a ton of teams around the league right now at 3-3 and even 500. And in fact, there's three divisions in the National Football League, the AFC North, the NFC South, and the NFC West that are all at 300 or at 500 or worse. But there's only one division in football. That would be the AFC East with teams that are all at 500 at bare minimum or better. And of course, Joe, the NFC East with the unbeaten birds, the Philadelphia Eagles, a perfect 6-0, the New York Giants at 5-1, the Cowboys at 4-2, a very strong side as well. We did not expect that to be the case for this NFC East division this year. And speaking of those Cowboys, Joe, the expectation, the thought, we don't really have confirmation, and maybe we'll get some in the next couple of days here, is that Dak Prescott is going to start for the Cowboys on Sunday at home in the Star, hosting the Detroit Lions. We mentioned the minus 190 price for the New York Giants to make the postseason. The Cowboys, Joe, even more heavily favored, minus 600 to make the NFC playoffs, and they're a 7-point favorite against the Detroit Lions. I think we saw, Joe, the limitations of Cooper Rush this past Sunday night in Philadelphia, right? He is going to win you football games, or he can keep you in the conversation, but there is a certain ceiling to what he can do to take it to the best point against the best teams in the league. Dak Prescott, having him back now, puts to bed any of that conversation. Could Cooper Rush be the starting quarterback? No, that's done now. Dak Prescott is the guy. So having him back, Joe, even if he's 90% healthy, what does that do for Dallas?
Oh, it gives them an opportunity to play from behind, which they couldn't do last week, not be one-dimensional, and get some of those wide receivers involved in the offense. Gallup was non-existent in the loss to Philadelphia. Obviously, you want to get the tight end involved. I think that's the biggest thing that Dak Prescott utilizes, is the ability to locate the tight end. Why is that important? Because when you're throwing underneath as well, you throw off and run off the linebackers, and that opens up even more so the running game with Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott. So at the end of the day, I think Dak gives them the best opportunity to obviously get to the Super Bowl, but not only that, challenge the better teams in the NFC. They were sort of capped out with Cooper Rush. They bought into the team mentality, but were still one-dimensional. I mean, Cooper Rush was a short to intermediate thrower. At times he went over the top, but Dak has a much stronger arm and he's more mobile. So that's what you want in terms of the Dallas Cowboys to win a division title and get to the Super Bowl. That is the goal for Dallas and Jerry Jones right now.
Yeah, and that is their goal as always. And so that's my next question, Joe, about these Dallas Cowboys. A minus 600 favorite to make the postseason, something we expect Dallas is certainly capable of doing. But then would you take what you just said about Dallas and put it into the postseason market, into those NFC championship odds, where Dallas right now is tied for the fifth best price alongside the Green Bay Packers. Both of those teams, Joe, at plus 950, because as we well know, the struggles of the Cowboys in the playoffs over the last 2.5 decades, in the past 25 seasons, just 3 postseason wins, a 3-16 playoff record. Do you think with having Dak Prescott back, Joe, and he continues to get healthier throughout the rest of this year and remains healthy, coupled with that Dallas defense, the Cowboys could be a true contender in the NFC?
Absolutely. Now, I have to say that with trepidation, that I took this bet last year at 12-1, and after they lost to San Francisco, I was left with no money. But at the end of the day, I still think they're there, Ben, and we could pick it up on the other end if possible.
We will pick it up on the other end. A little bit more NFL talk, some college football conversation as well. All of that coming your way up next on Football Full Circle, live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on FFC, the topic of conversation after 6 weeks of this NFL season, who is a contender, who is a pretender, and focusing on some quarterbacks getting back and added to the fold. We expect, Joe, and we'll get confirmation, I believe, in the next couple of days, that Dak Prescott will start for the Dallas Cowboys, make his return, his first game since that opening night in the right thumb injury against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, the line tends to indicate that, Joe. Wouldn't you say Dallas a 7-point favorite at home against the Detroit Lions, fresh off a bye? Now, the Cowboys would be favored in this football game regardless, but I believe if Cooper Rush was going to start, it'd probably be 4, 4.5. It's at 7. I believe that's a Dak Prescott bump. Wouldn't you say that's the case, Joe, just as we look at this game first and foremost?
Yeah, without a doubt, and the total is 48.5, so you got to believe that as well, right? Would it still be 48.5 with Cooper Rush, or would it be down in the area of maybe 44.5, 45? So I'm buying into the fact that Dak is starting, but I like the over in this matchup because I still think Detroit has one of the worst rush defenses right now in terms of all of the NFL. New England was able to pound the rock, Seattle as well, and that could mean a huge day for both Zeke and Tony Pollard. Pollard in terms of the rushing attack. So I think Dallas wins. I like the over. And don't be shocked if Dallas wins this by double digits. I mean, like 14 to 17 points, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, that is where the line is right now, right? That is where this is going, and that would be the thought that Dak Prescott plays in this football game. All right, Joe, let's keep it going, though, because we talked about what this Dallas Cowboys team could be. The reason they are a 4-2 football team and the reason they had won four straight games even after the injury to Dak Prescott is because of that defense and how good the pressure has been up front and how good the sack rate has been with that Dallas defensive line. So, with Dak Prescott back, if he remains healthy and looks good with that offense this year, could the Dallas Cowboys make some noise in the postseason? They've only had three playoff wins in the last 25 years. And Joe, you were talking about that idea, the plus 950 price on the Cowboys right now to win the NFC, tied for the fifth best odds with the Green Bay Packers. Is it something you would buy in on? You were skeptical based on last year, but how do you really feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, I still think they have a good shot. I mean, because here, even if they got in as a wild card, right, they're 20-1 to win the Super Bowl. Last year at this time, or maybe a little bit later, right at the start of November, they were 12-1. How do I know? Because I took the bet at that particular time, and I thought that they were coming into form. Now, even though they haven't stepped up with Dak in a playoff environment, the recipe to win games, it's again, can they run the football? Yes. Can they stop the run? Yes. Can they force turnovers on the defensive side of the ball? Yes, with Micah Parsons. So at the end of the day, they have the foundation to make a solid run. And let's look at the top teams in the NFC right now, okay? Outside of the Eagles, who are playing above their heads, in my opinion, at this point, and that's not to take away from a 6-0 record, but at some point, I think they will tail off to a degree. If we're looking at Tampa, concerns. If we're looking at Green Bay, completely no identity without Davante Adams. There are huge question marks with the two top teams that we thought would challenge for a Super Bowl appearance, right? So why not Dallas and Minnesota or even the Philadelphia Eagles? Those second-tier teams, I think, have a legitimate shot to actually push the envelope against Green Bay and Tom Brady.
I mean, listen, when you're looking at the NFC right now, it's why the conference feels up in the air, because the Eagles are deserving of being the favorites as things currently stand in the NFC. Nobody should take that away from Philadelphia. They are a very, very good football team who will be in the postseason and have the opportunity to actually cash that ticket as your plus 220 favorite right now to win the NFC championship. But the reason, Joe, there is some skepticism about looking at the Eagles as per se, looking at the Buffalo Bills as the favorites in the AFC, although the Bills aren't necessarily proven either, although they've had playoff success at least a little bit with Josh Allen, or maybe even looking at the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, it's because when you look at the Eagles, Joe, this unit, Jalen Hurts is a quarterback, second-year head coach Nick Sirianni, they haven't had that proven postseason track record. They played in one game last year, got blown out by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that was that. Right? So that's what we know about Philadelphia at this moment, which makes it feel like the NFC is up in the air. Tampa has the second best price at plus 500. The Bucs still an easy path, it would seem, through the NFC South, minus 550, Joe, to still win that division, the best odds of any team in the NFC to win a division. But that's why there might be some noise for Minnesota and some noise still on San Francisco. And if the Los Angeles Rams can figure anything out, but their left tackle Joe Noteboom, will be out for the rest of this season, it appears, in the banged up LA offensive line continuing to struggle. So Joe, let's focus on the NFC North here quickly. The Minnesota Vikings, the Green Bay Packers. Entering this season, the Green Bay Packers were a minus 170 favorite to win the division. They have won the division for three straight years. Eight of the last 11 NFC North divisional championships have found their way to Green Bay, Wisconsin. But following 6 weeks of the year, Joe, the Minnesota Vikings are a minus 310 favorite to win the NFC North. They're the only 5-1 football team in this division. They're 5-1. The Packers are 3-3, and of course, the Bears and the Lions round out this four-team division. Joe, you were optimistic about this Vikings team entering this season and thought they could make some noise within the NFC North. Here they are as a minus 310 favorite. Do you think they will ultimately challenge Green Bay at the end of the year and win the NFC North?
Yes, I'm still buying in. I like this team. I don't like how O'Connell is coached at particular points in ball games, but at the end of the day, they're getting W's, and that's all that matters. I don't like the way he utilizes Dalvin Cook in terms of the running game until later in matchups. He's splitting time with Madison. I understand maybe it's to preserve him, but you got to feed your best player, the Rock, in terms of the rushing attack as well. At the end of the day, they're playing well. I love the passing game with Kirk Cousins, and the defense seems to be coming into form. Again, I'm not sold on Green Bay. What is the identity? Are they a running team? Can they play from behind without Devontae Adams? I haven't seen that yet. And is Aaron Rodgers the same player now that he's getting $50 million a year? I'm not so sure. Is the desire to win there for Green Bay? So you know what? Give me the team that wants it. Give me the team that's playing well right now and coming into form at the midpoint of the season. I've been a big buyer of Minnesota over the last couple of years because of the talent that they have. I'm more buying into their offense than I am their defense, but that could carry them without a doubt to an NFC North title, and more importantly, don't be shocked if this team is playing in the championship game.
And Joe, let's call it what it is, right? They are going to play two games this year between Minnesota and Green Bay, but the Vikings taking the first of them that opening weekend of the year in Minneapolis. Yes, they will have to play again in Lambeau, so we're not sure there will be that divisional tiebreaker advantage for Minnesota, at least in the head-to-head, but a lot of football left to be played. Joe, when you look at this Green Bay team, it's incredibly concerning, right? Defensively, we expected that to kind of lead the way for Aaron Rodgers and the Pack this year, and they've been okay on defense. The rush defense hasn't been all that fantastic, but they're middle of the pack, and that's not going to get it done with how the offense is struggling. Aaron Rodgers has said now that he hopes to simplify the offense. You can still tell he likes the West Coast style. He has said so in interviews. Then the motion-based Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan type offense that he has had to adapt to over the last couple of seasons. Two MVP trophies in back-to-back years, what might make you think that Aaron could embrace change, but that guy's a weirdo. So, Joe, as we look at the offensive struggles for this Green Bay team, he has said he wants to simplify the offense. His head coach, Matt LaFleur, the play caller, has said, I don't know what that means. How can you simplify an offense at the NFL level and still have advantages? And then Aaron Rodgers has agreed that Aaron Jones needs to get more touches than he did last week in the Packers' loss to the New York Jets. So, Joe, this is a confusing situation in Green Bay. Certainly not where you want to be if you are a Packers fan or a Packers backer following 6 weeks. What do you make of all of it?
Well, again, I think LaFleur is right. I mean, they are a simple offense right now, and they were a simple offense when Devontae Adams was there. The problem or the issue was Aaron Rodgers locked in on Devontae Adams when he was double-covered and triple-covered. That was his security blanket, right? Without him there, he doesn't know where to go. He has no confidence in Dobbs or the other wide receivers. And you know what? Where is the running backs involved in terms of the short to intermediate passing game? I don't see Aaron Jones getting as involved in terms of the passing tree. So you tell me, what is the identity? Do they want to ground and pound and pull Williams out because of their defense? Or do they want to start fast and then rely on the rushing attack to solidify victories? I think that's the problem that Green Bay has. And you know what? I don't think Aaron Rodgers knows. I think, you know, he's struggling right now because it's new for him and he's a creature of habit. And without Devontae Adams there, I really believe that that's a big problem for this offense. And until it changes, or until Aaron Rodgers changes his mindset and the way he wants to attack, it's not going to change. They're a fish out of water. I'm selling them the rest of the way.
Outside of what we saw that opening weekend for Aaron Jones against Minnesota in a loss when he only had 8 touches, we've seen him be more involved over the last couple of weeks. 18 total touches against the Chicago Bears, 15 on the ground, 3 through the air. 15 total touches against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 19 against the Patriots. In all of those games, the Green Bay Packers won. Back down to only 15 touches against the Giants. They lose that football game. Only 12 last week against the New York Jets. 9 carries for 19 yards, 3 grabs on 4 targets for 25 yards. yards. In fact, the Packers only ran for 60 yards last week against the New York Jets. Aaron Rodgers admitted that Aaron Jones needs more involvement in this offense. He is their most talented offensive player. A.J. Dillon is great. The wide receivers should come around. They are young and talented. But what does that mean for the Green Bay Packers offense? You would think this could be a get-right spot for the Packers, a 4.5-point favorite on the road in Washington against the Commanders, although early this week, already line movement backing the Commanders. It was 5.5 just a few days ago, now 4.5. Joe, some news out of Carolina today. Interim head coach Steve Wilks is there and getting some reinforcements. Sam Darnold has been activated off the IR. We'll see if he gets the start this week. The Panthers, a 10.5-point dog against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home in Charlotte. It was P.J. Walker last week. It was not pretty offensively for the Carolina Panthers. They looked like a JV high school team playing an NFL team. It did not work out very well. So, Joe, with Sam Darnold activated off the IR, do you think he will get the start against Tampa Bay, or will they look to work him back into the groove?
Well, you know what you got with P.J. Walker, right? And Matt Corral's on the IR, so, I mean, why not give Darnold a shot? I mean, here's the are they in a complete just, you know, desperation, let's just tear it down and start over for 2023, or are they looking to at least preserve some sort of semblance of the season without Matt Rhule? I mean, Wilkes there, at the end of the day, he wants to win. Yeah. I have to believe that he wants to get another job or at least showcase maybe he could be the potential head coach, even though he's not going to get it. I mean, at the end of the day, I have to think that Sam Darnold gives you the best opportunity to win ball games. He looked like a deer in the headlights, though. So without Robbie Anderson and without those playmakers, what do? They have no identity either. So give the kid a shot.
I mean, the Panthers are in a tough spot right now, Joe. They are in a really, really tough spot. If you were going to say two teams in contention for the worst record, I think the Panthers and the Commanders would be at the top of that bill, and not even mentioning the Texans, a 7-point underdog against the Las Vegas Raiders this weekend as well. More of Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A couple more minutes left here on Football Full Circle. I am Ben Stevens. He is Joe Lisi. We'll get to our Thursday night football preview later on when we get to tomorrow's show, Joe. But as we wrap up this Wednesday edition, tomorrow night in the desert, a 2.5-point spread in favor of the Arizona Cardinals against the New Orleans Saints. Joe Lisi, two of these teams, both very much struggling right now as it stands in the National Football League, but reinforcements for Arizona while other players are now out of the lineup. Marquise Hollywood Brown should be out for the next month and a half, 2 months or so, dealing with a foot injury he suffered at the end of the game against Seattle. But on the way back, Joe, it is DeAndre Hopkins. After serving his 6-game suspension to begin this season, he returns for Week 7 and Thursday night for the Cardinals. What exactly, Joe, will that mean for this Arizona offense?
Well, it means they have more big play capability, but does it mean that they're going to score more points? I don't know. Because if they can't score points with D-Hop and Robbie Anderson in that lineup, then I think Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury are a lost cause. I don't think they make the playoffs, and I think they're on the hot seat. Well, he's on the hot seat, Kingsbury as a head coach. Because at the end of the day, to put up 9 points against Seattle's defense, a team that was abused by New Orleans and Detroit from an offensive perspective the week before is absolutely pathetic. So hopefully they get over 20 points in this ballgame. That might be the bet going over the team total because you have to believe that D-Hop is the guy.
The Seahawks are still tied for the second worst scoring defense in the National Football League, giving up 27.2 points per game alongside the Cleveland Browns. The New Orleans Saints are the fourth worst scoring defense in the National Football League, giving up 26.3 points per game. Can the Cardinals finally find something on Thursday? We'll continue that discussion tomorrow. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. This was Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. Keep it locked right here for the Moneyline.
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the long-lasting power you need with Energizer. Menards has the largest in-stock selection of Energizer batteries. They provide solid power for flashlights, remotes, and so much more. Right now, save big on Energizer batteries. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big.